Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is KJ and Lyons. KJ Carson and John Lyons right now on WEEI.
Final hour of KJ and Lyons on WEEI. Thank you so much for hanging out through 15 minutes of the show, 20 minutes of the show, a couple of hours. If you missed any of it, the Odyssey app is free. Just type in WEEI. That's Gerard Mayo revealing that he just told his team today what we all knew since yesterday. Is that Drake May is going to be the starting quarterback this weekend. And John, I ask, why is his team just finding out today formally? Beyond the social media stuff, right? It's like, okay, what's going on either at his immediate peer level in terms of who, we're talking about a leak here. Is it one of his guys right around? I don't think it is. I don't think it's like one of his members of his coaching staff turn around saying, Schefter, yeah, this is the way we're going to go. Don't tell anybody. But it's almost like, is everybody on the same page in this organization?
Yeah, it doesn't quite feel that way because this in itself is a departure just from the end of August when Gerard Mayo came out and said to the media, I'm not going to announce a starting quarterback decision yet until I talk to everybody and let the team know. And then remember there was that 2 day or so wait, and he had that abbreviated 30-minute press conference to announce it after he had told everyone. Now, not only does it leak out, it's not like it leaked out 10 minutes before the meeting where he told everyone or an hour. It leaked out on the players' off day 15, 20 hours before they were going to have any sort of meeting. So that to me is it's a big departure there. And again, it's not in and of itself, it's not the end of the world, right? You can get over this. But it's another one of those things in the line of, is this thing as buttoned down as it needs to be? You go back to, we're going to burn some cash. We're going to have less of a hard-ass culture. Oh, no, by the way, no, we appreciate everything Bill did. We have a plan with Drake May. Jacoby's the starter. It's a competition. Matt Judon arguing with him out on the field. Drake May has outplayed Brissett. Brissett's the starter. Right now, this, you know, leaking. So, again, all those things in themselves, and I'm sure I'm missing one or two, are not the end of the world. They're things you can get over. It's just when you put them all together, like, I'm not trying to say the sky is falling or anything like that, but it is a noticeable pattern, if you will. I won't go to say it's a panic or anything, but it's a noticeable little pattern.
Yeah, I guess the question is, does it really give Gerard Mayo a real opportunity to establish himself as the leader of the team when the organization may be playing footsies above his head and not really taking into account that these type of things do affect a locker room? If a locker room, because it's not like, hey, someone leaked it out inside the locker room. As hell, no one was ever in the locker room for it when it was discussed.
Yeah, and I think we can agree, this is by far the biggest decision Gerard Mayo's made as a head coach so far.
Right.
Like, by far, like maybe going back to accepting the job itself, but like this is the biggest decision he has made as head coach, and somebody, I don't know who, undercut it in a very public way.
Well, clearly it's not going to be anybody in that coaching room. I guess the question is, who was in the room when the discussion happened? So you know Van Pelt's in the room. Clearly Mayo's in the room because the two of them are having the conversation. You presume Elliot Wolf is in there for the conversation as well. Do you believe there are other people who are in there for the conversation beyond that?
Either in there or notified not long after, right? People at the executive level. And there's a couple reasons here, KJ. One, you look at who reported it, right? Rappaport and Schefter. Those are guys that have ties to the organization that predate Mayo, predate Wolf, predate Van Pelt in May. And all, like, they were breaking stories about the Patriots 15 years ago. And in Schefter's case, I think like 20 years ago almost. So these guys have had ties that well before any of these people were in their positions. I know Rappaport covered the team while Mayo was a player, but still, but way before Mayo was in this coaching role. And then
so someone who exists prior
right,
to,
which is a small list.
So that eliminates Van Pelt. Clearly, it eliminates Mayo because I would bet the farm that Mayo didn't say I'm going to leak this to you and then I'm going to tell my team tomorrow.
Yeah, that
so
makes sense.
So he's out. His D coordinator is out. You know, so he would also be in that room too. So your coaching staff would be out, I would think, for the most part. Clearly, I think Matthew Slater is going to be one of those guys that's like, hey, this is what coach says. This is what we do with coach. Coach is the leader. So I don't think it's anybody at that coaching level. I'm not trying to pinpoint who the leak is. But it does make me wonder, man, is the Patriot way really still a thing? Is that going all out for team? Or is that going all out for press availabilities?
Yeah, and that's reason one why I think it's someone at the executive level is who broke the story. But also, if you look at kind of where people are in their positions, right? So, and I'm not accusing these two people of doing this, but just here's the connection. Okay, Robert Kraft is the owner, Jonathan Kraft's the president. So the Krafts, when you make a change of this magnitude, they're going to be informed. Okay, right. This is not, hey, I'm going to start Marcus Jones, you know, at slot corner today. No, I'm going to start Drake May. So the Krafts are going to be informed. And then Robin Glazer, who, as we know from the Wickersham article after the season last year, with Jonathan Kraft, was going to people saying, hey, why is Belichick doing this? Is it, you know, could it be different? Essentially, going behind his back, all of a sudden now has a title in football operations, special assistant to the head coach. She's going to know about it most likely. So, and I'm not accusing them specifically, but when you have those two people that should notice it, and oh, can I give you another Castellanos moment?
Oh,
Mookie Betts home run. Second night in a row. How about that? But somebody at that level would now be privy. So now you have multiple people at that executive level, and they have people in their orbit, right? There's people around the Krafts. There's people around the executive suite, people around Glazer. So that's why I think this leak came from somewhere in that orbit. I'm not accusing those folks specifically, but somewhere in that orbit because of who reported it and the connections that now ownership, maybe ownership didn't have this connection to the coaching staff last year, 2 years ago, 5 years ago. Now they do.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I'm with you. You don't necessarily want to say this is who we pinpoint the person being. And maybe it could be one of those. Maybe the leak goes further than that. Let's just say, hey, we want to print up programs. Now, I don't think Adam Schefter's like in friends with all these printing presses that do the programs for the Sunday games. But if you're
Drake, get me a copy of Patriots Football Weekly with me.
Right there, you right. So you know,
send it to Adam Schefter, Bristol,
Schefter,
Connecticut.
Hey, Chef, I got something for you, but yeah, you need to call me back before 5.
They canceled Brissett Bobblehead Day. Call me back.
Or even better, just like, you will not believe what is laying on my printing press right now. Something that you would probably want to take to the press yourself.
You know, I actually, funny story, 10 years ago, 2014, yeah, I worked for the Patriots part-time. Yeah.
Gotcha.
And one of the jobs I would have on game day was like when they gave out giveaways like that, I would help hand them out sometimes. Like, I would help hand out the schedule magnets and all that.
Gotcha.
So they never had a Jacoby Brissett bobblehead giveaway back then.
Well, would there be a reason to?
No, because A, he wasn't even on the team yet, but even once he got there, no, they had no reason.
Well, I think it's almost like you want to be able to make this kind of like the press release, the collector's item, you know, the start of the Drake May era has started. So trust me, those are going to be like, like usually when you go to a game, like, you're like, do I really want to buy a program? I know who's out there and stuff like that. This is going, so this even excites the wallet, which I think you need to have happen again for this team by things are going. Like, there's now something that you look forward to buying on Sunday, despite what the result is. And that's going to be that Drake. Now, if Drake May is not on the cover of this, then, you know, get me out of journalism, right? But I seriously think, like, how could you miss the ball and say, okay, we announced that Drake May is going to be the starter on Tuesday, pretty much giving our opponent an advantage by a day, and he's not on the cover?
Yeah, and that was the Tuesday part that made it interesting, because those people that say, oh, wait till Sunday, like, that's not realistic, okay? You're not going to do, it's not going to stay under wraps until Sunday. But if you could wait until, say, Wednesday, late morning, afternoon for it to come out. And the reason I say that is the way NFL teams work is Tuesdays is the players' day off, but that's the day that the coaches actually work the longest hours, or usually, because that's the day they develop the game plan from top to bottom.
The install.
Right, at least the main install, first and second down stuff, right? So if they make an entire game plan, at least first and second down-wise on Brissett, and then all of a sudden they find out, you know, Wednesday afternoon, oh no, it's Drake May. Yeah, they're not going to change the entire thing, but all of a sudden they got to make some adjustments, and they have some unknown there. So again, saying it's under wraps until Sunday is not realistic, but even Wednesday mid-morning?
Yeah, who would say, who believe that would be real, considering it's a home game, there are practices here, you're going to see who's getting the majority of the reps.
Yeah, but like Wednesday, like again,
Saturday morning, Drake, be here at 6 a.m., we got a surprise.
So now Houston can look on Tuesday at 3 o'clock there, because what are they, an hour behind us?
3 o'clock behind,
there. So 3 o'clock their time, it comes out. That is, look, it's not in the morning on Tuesday, but it's enough time to adjust their game plan before their guys come in on Wednesday and hit the ground running. As again, just if you had waited 15 more hours, I think it would have given you at least a little tiny bit of an advantage.
Yeah, KJ and Lyons, WEEI, thank you so much for hanging out on a Wednesday. 617-779-7937, text line 37937. Next, what's the best case scenario look like for Drake May Sunday? What's the worst case scenario on Sunday? Right now, it's time to trend with Zach Coe.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All righty, we'll get you caught up on what's trending one final time here on KJ and Lyons. Patriots head coach Gerard Mayo met with the media this morning and officially announced that third overall pick Drake May will start Sunday's Week 6 matchup against the Houston Texans. Pats will welcome the Texans to Gillette Sunday, kickoff set for 1 p.m. In other Patriots news, the NFL has placed safety Jabril Peppers on the commissioner's exempt list after he was arrested on assault and drug possession charges last weekend. Peppers cannot be with the team while he's on that exempt list. Bruins kicked off their 2024-25 campaign last night in Florida, taking on the defending Stanley Cup champion Panthers, and there was no cup hangover for the Panthers. 6-4 Panthers, your final from Sunrise. Goal scorers for the Bruins were Pavel Zacha, Charlie McAvoy, Trent Frederick, and David Pasternak. Bees return home tomorrow night to take on the Montreal Canadiens. Puck drop from the Garden set for 7 p.m. And don't forget, you can catch Arcand and Hart on WEEI Afternoon, broadcasting live from Scores on Canal Street from 2 to 6. All four division series in action across baseball today. Tigers took a 2-1 series lead over the Guardians with a 3-0 win in Detroit. The Mets eliminated the Phillies at Citi Field, 4-1 the final. They'll advance to the championship series. Royals and Yankees facing off in Kansas City. The score of that one is 2-2 currently. That series is tied at one game apiece. And finally, the Padres looking to eliminate the Dodgers in San Diego. You heard John tease it in that last segment. Mookie Betts hit a first-inning home run to give the Dodgers a 1-0 lead. My name is Zach.
Yeah, I wish we could get players like that.
It's a real shame. My name is Zach Coe, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back to KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
KJ and Lyons on WEEI, thank you so much for hanging out here till 10 o'clock. You know, Gerard Mayo, I got to give it to him, John. He's worn his answers on his sleeve, which is different than what we've seen before. In fact, there weren't even sleeves most of the time. But I think it's like, yeah, he was disappointed that the media knew first before his team knew. And I do wonder what that looks like moving forward. We just talked about, but how do you think that affects Drake May going into this Sunday's game, knowing that, gosh, I guess between when you're told it's going to happen and when the team gets told, everybody else finds out?
I don't think it has an effect on May per se. I think it has an effect on Mayo maybe long term. Like if this is another one of those things and more incidents come up, but I don't think it affects Drake. Because if you're Drake May, third pick in the draft, you know you're going to start at some point. That's your dream to do it. Once Mayo tells you and you go home and you're say, all right, hey, I'm the starter, that's probably all your focus. And I don't foresee guys on the team taking that out on him or something like that. Or it feels like guys are, for the most part, on board with it, even if the announcement and timing was botched.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm looking at what you're looking at with Houston coming down the pike. And even though we talk about their vaunted defense, their defense does rank, what, 17th out of 32 in terms of points against? So if you believe that, hey, Drake May could get us maybe 7 more points or maybe lead us to 10 more points in a game, which I don't think is an unrealistic thing. Now you might say, okay, this is a team that could get over 20, and usually the Houston Texans are averaging about 23 a game. So you probably feel like maybe Drake May gives us a chance to get to that 24 number and be in this game, knowing that some key pieces for the Texans are out or could be out. I mean, Joe Mixon did not practice, so we'll see how that develops as well. Of course, we talked about Nico Collins. He's out. He's on the IR.
Injured reserve, yeah.
Right. Tank Dell was a full participant, but he's coming off of a chest issue. So you've got defensive players as well. Laremy Tunsil was a full, but he's dealing with an ankle. So you've got some, I mean, you've got a team that's kind of banged out. You've got a DT, a defensive, a couple of defensive ends who have been out of practice and did not practice at all and who so far out. So you wonder, where on paper it sounds like, oh my God, Houston's going to kill them. You know, Houston's beat up a bit. And so if you can take advantage of it now, if this was week one, you'd be like, what are you throwing them to the wolves already? But hey, if they're a little bit beat up and nicked and you're seeing some things on tape, we're saying, hey, they're not able to be as aggressive as they want to be because maybe a guy's hobbled in a key spot. You know, teams are making adjustments. The C.J. Stroud, he's even said as much that it's been a bit tougher. Teams are playing more cover two shell on him to make him make decisions a little bit quicker because he just can't go deep. You know, so if you feel like, okay, if Gonzalez has to line up against Stephon Diggs, you don't feel bad about that. He did well against Tyreek Hill last week. So maybe in a sneaky way, look, I'm not here telling you that they're going to beat the Texans, but this isn't any given Sunday league, and anything can happen. Nobody had Cincinnati on their bingo card, only having one victory in it, not against Patriots. So weird things can happen, and maybe they could happen.
Yeah, I don't really see it this Sunday. And all the stuff you said is valid about them being banged up, but it's like they still have Derek Stingley and Kamari Lassiter at corner. They still have Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter coming off the edge on defense. Like, that's just that's a tough, tough matchup. Like, we're talking, they just beat the Bills. They literally knocked out Josh Allen. I don't know how he went back in that game. But, like, this is a really good team that, look, I'm not picking them to go to the Super Bowl, but they're a Super Bowl contender. That's how good this team is. And you're right, 17th in points allowed per game, but 8th in sacks, 3rd in passing yards allowed per game, 8th in QB rating. Like, they're good against the pass, and they're good getting after the opposing quarterbacks. So that's why, like, you look at Miami last week. Like, if Drake May played against Miami last week, much, much better spot. And he could go out there against Houston and play okay, and I could be wrong. But, like, just look at what we saw out of Miami last week. That would have been a much better spot for me. Think about Jacksonville, who just struggled to get their first win against the Colts. Like, that's a better spot in London. Even the Jets, who have a great defensive line, and I know a good roster, but they fired their head coach yesterday. Like, that to me, that's the issue. Like, I think your job as a coach, you want to put your guy in the best possible position to succeed, because it's never going to be perfect, but the best possible one. And it just doesn't feel like the best possible position to succeed.
I don't know if there's any best possible with what's been going on with this team.
But I think if you compare it to, like, Miami is a better position for him to succeed, or Jacksonville. Like, that's, like, I agree. It's not, you know, it's never going to be a great spot, because as we talked about last night, you know, if you had a perfect situation, you would not need a rookie quarterback, because you have a perfect situation. But I think some spots are better. And it's not all about the spot. It's about his development too. What's like, I would like a better spot than 5 different offensive line combinations in 5 weeks. you know, and an offensive coordinator who I think made some significant gaffes in last week's game.
Yeah, it's interesting because you think when we're talking about this Houston defense, they're 27th in turnovers for the defense. So if Drake May doesn't give away the ball, then there's a chance with the run defense. Now, their run defense is top 10 in terms of holding attempts. Teams want to pass on them, and I don't know why they want to do that. But in terms of yards, they're 17th in the league, so they're the second half. So if you can run the ball and not turn over, they're 19th. Their offense is 19th in points, so they're not this juggernaut that's running away with things. And you've got your main running back who's so far out. Look, I'm trying to create a little bit of hope here. You know, like I'm trying to. Can you see me with the rabbit that I'm trying to pull out of this proverbial hat?
Yes, I give you credit for it. And
right, like
I wish. Look again. I want them to win, but look, I look at it and I just think it's a tough matchup for any quarterback. I mean, Houston's a good team, but a rookie in his first start with a suspect offense like that, that's what I'm looking at. Just tough matchup this weekend for him.
Well, I think here's the thing. You've just got a heavy commit to the run, right?
Yeah,
that's number one.
Yeah,
heavy commit to the run. Keep the game ugly. Play ball possession. Like, I wouldn't, this is one of those games where if the Patriots can get a 6.5 minute drive and it ends in a field goal, I would be okay with it, right? Because at least that 6.5 minutes is time that you can't get back. And you would hope that the defense, knowing that they can't run the ball, they don't have their full complement of receivers, you know where C.J. Stroud is being challenged on now in his second year, that if the defense can hold its water a little more and bend not break and make this an ugly game, let's say you get into the fourth quarter and it's a 14-10 game and Drake May hasn't made any mistakes, he's gotten you at least a touchdown and maybe driven for a field goal possession, this might be that chance where you're like, hey, this is where he could surprise them on some things that they haven't seen on tape yet, because today's the first day of the tape. This is where he might be able to scamper for a long run.
Sure.
Or let's just say it's a 17-14 game at the time, and he's able to drive down the field long, get the team in the field goal range, and, you know, Lord forbid Sly have any slip-ups like he did last week, but if he's able to knock them down, get this game into overtime, now anything can happen. So if they can run the ball, keep the game ugly and low, and not turn the ball over, that's how the Patriots have a chance to win the game.
Yeah, and I think that is the formula. Like, very similar to how they beat Cincinnati. And in Cincinnati, let's not forget, they forced two turnovers. One of them was a Kyle Duggar fumble forced on the goal line that essentially would have either been or set up a touchdown. So can you get a play like that too? Can you get some sort of defensive touchdown or multiple turnovers, something? Because I think, again, similar, and I know Gerard Mayo said last week that the way they beat Cincinnati is not sustainable over like a long time, and I do agree with him on that. However, I think once in a while you can do that, and if you are going to beat a team like Houston, I think that's kind of the formula you need.
617-779-7937. Let's go to Rick. Rick, thanks so much for calling KJ and Lyons. You're on the air.
Hey, yeah, thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it. What's on your mind?
You know, I can't help but think this Drake May thing is going to be a disaster this weekend. It just, why wouldn't they have done this last weekend? It doesn't make a lot of sense. And what it shows to me is more of a reactionary approach up there in Foxborough, and they don't need that right now. You know, yeah. Bill Belichick drove this organization into the ground, and now they need some new, fresh blood and need to be looking ahead. And they're still not doing that. It's really sad.
Thanks so much for the call. Yeah, I think, you know, one of my favorite
sports radio hosts are negative.
Well, here's the thing. One of my favorite Smith songs is called How Soon Is Now. I think we're at a how soon is now situation. Now, again, I thought it would be another week, get out of the country, a little less distraction in terms of the hot media takes coming in at you. You know, should he, shouldn't he be, this, that, and the third, and everything like that. What is Brissett doing? You know, look, you'd be kind of coddled by the NFL. They would really be the ones in charge of your media exposure. You'd be seeing things over there and whatnot. So, but again, I'm only off by a week. So I can't sit here and say, oh, this is too soon, because I was only a week away before they made their decision. Do I feel better? Like, hey, I was right, and see, I was only off by a week. I'm thinking, this could have you know, we talked, we used the example of how long the pie stays in the oven. The team is cooked, right? I think the team is ultimately cooked, but I don't necessarily know if the center is warm enough for this to start happening now. So I think that's, look, you're just going to have to take that pie out of the oven and serve it up. And I think part of management, it was like, when we can't wait. This has to happen. We probably need some momentum going into London.
Yeah. It's funny you bring that up. You wonder, because let's not forget last year how the Crafts went on and on about how important that Germany game was. And then when they lost it in that ugly, ugly fashion, it was that week that not only did Tommy Curran come here on EEI and say they had made the decision to fire Bill, but the trailer for the Dynasty doc came out. So it's like,
They dropped their mixtape right at the same time.
Right. Yeah. I don't know if that's a it's like Meet the Grams, right? Like it felt like that was not a coincidence that Tommy Curran came out and said that right after the Germany game, and now this is an international game. Let's start. Robert Saleh just got fired after a London game for the Jets, and I know it's a different organization, but these international games mean a little bit extra to these team owners. And again, I'm not saying Kraft walked into Mayo's office and said, hey, start him now, but it's that collective overtime pressure that maybe builds up and is that little extra straw that broke the camel's back that made the decision for this week instead of, say, week 8 or week 9.
Yeah, it's interesting because it feels like teams, I think this is an upstairs thing where they're like, we don't care what your plan may be, we need to go with the youth movement now, right? If Jaden Daniels is at least in MVP talk, you say, okay, what's going on here? If Caleb Williams seems to have started to figure some things out, I still say, let me see what, 7 to 9 games look like.
Sure.
But he seems to be figuring some things out, right? Then you've got Bo Nix, who was kind of going to be the example of kind of like, maybe you took him out the oven too soon. That has turned around for him. Now with Drake May, and now Spencer Rattler has been named the starter for the Saints this weekend. So you're seeing these guys drafted this year. These teams are saying, we're putting him in. Now, I know David Carr took a little bit of a nick in Monday night's game, but he did not look good. And it felt like, okay, we're paying more than what we're getting. We need to see what else we have. So I think Drake May kind of falls in that category too, because then it becomes, all right, everybody else is playing their young quarterback, good or bad. How come the Patriots are not seeing that one way or the other?
I hate that logic so much.
I hate it too, but I feel
it could be in the play. Yeah, I'm not.
I think it's
kind of
like you got pushed into that room. I don't know if your club days were kind of like, everybody move this way. You're like, oh, this is not the party. Okay,
maybe last weekend.
I'm talking about my party days in Atlanta. I don't want to end up in the blue room. I want to be in the red room.
That was literally me last weekend.
That's right. You were. I don't want to tell your business, but my goodness, isn't Atlanta such a joy?
Yeah, but not my first time there. But yeah, actually, highly, highly underrated city.
Not for me. When I left Atlanta, I told my wife to be that I would not entertain a single job in Atlanta for at least 10 years into the marriage. So it's been 12 years. So
you're gonna start applying to jobs in Atlanta.
Hello, guys at the game. No kidding. Look, I think it's unfortunate because here, like, see with Bo Nix. Like, Bo Nix went up against a bunch of nobodies that were never really going to have that job. And Sean Payton is his head coach, so it's an offensive
Jared Stidham was his competition.
Yeah, it's like Jared Stidham. We've seen that movie, and actually we're glad we didn't see more than the preview. So when you have an offensive-minded coach, it makes a little more sense. So Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota was ready to go with J.J. McCarthy before he got hurt. That's why Sam Darnold looks just fine, because you've got an offensive-minded head coach. But when you have a defensive-minded head coach and a first-year play caller, it's just one of those situations where you should be a little more cautious. And I know it's not appealing to the fans, but it's almost kind of like if we just bought ourselves a McLaurin. Okay, we're not – what's the guy – Zach, what's the influencer name? Jack, what's his name? The guy just crashed his McLaurin on social media.
I have no idea.
Okay, I forgot his name.
Yeah, I also don't know.
Jack Snyder, I think his name is. Well – like, you would not give a teenage kid a brand new $200,000, $300,000 sports car to figure out how to drive. That could be Drake May. But you'd also say Alex Van Pelt is like, okay, bro, you are just coming off of driving like a Suburban. You know, like, it's kind of slower and everything like that. We don't need this thing to crash. But now they're ready to put it on the road, whether it's raining or not. That's why there are some people who are saying, man, Drake May is going to get killed out there. I understand that premise. But again, if they can lean heavy on the run, no mistakes, and keep the game ugly, they got a chance.
Can I give you another Castellanos moment?
And then we'll take a baseball call since you're going to Castellanos moment.
Mookie RBI single. Wish we could get
Castellanos. That's not really a Castellanos. A Castellanos moment
I know.
It's got to go out of the park.
I saw the baseball call lined up, so I wanted to throw it out there.
There you go. Shane in the Cape, thanks so much for calling KJ and Lions. You're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Back-to-back nights. I love to hear it. Yeah, based on, you know, Mookie, you know, a home run, RBI, or he just got a single, whatever. You know, do you guys think Sam Kennedy is watching this and enjoying it, or is he thinking about all the prospects he can continue to hoard? And, you know, like, it's
like
pretty
crazy.
The playoffs is bigger now in the Red Sox. You know, 12 teams make the playoffs total. Like, each year they should make the playoffs. And, you know, based off how it's been going so far, you know, Detroit, you know, the Mets, you know, these underdog-type teams have a great chance. You really just got to get into the dance. And, you know, I'm just sitting here, you know, watching these games really frustrated that the, you know, the Red Sox are in it. And, John, just a quick question. How are the Wings down in Atlanta?
Don't answer that, John. Don't answer that.
I can safely say I didn't have any, Sam.
There you go. That's the best answer because everybody knows where the best wings in Atlanta are located. It's right off of Graham Street.
Yeah. Speaking of Meet the Grahams. But, yeah, first of all, by the way, MLB.
Dear Johnny.
Yeah.
Lemon Pepper Lions.
Yeah.
That place we won't name has a framed Lou Williams jersey? It's a true story.
So here's crazy. I think it was a stepfather. He recently passed as a guy who was in the industry, a guy named Mitch Faulkner.
Okay, so I think I heard that name actually.
Right. Yeah. So yeah. So I knew his stepfather. Stepfather. I don't know if his parent, if his mom and his and Mitch were still married when Mitch passed away, but yeah. So yeah. As a person who lived in Atlanta, I would just say. As a man, you should go spend an entire weekend there. You will not be. Are we not entertained? Yeah. So, a lot of college scholarship, a lot of college bills being paid down there. That's for sure. Yeah.
Back to the lecture at hand, though. MLB playoffs.
You are smooth with that.
MLB playoffs have been awesome. First of all, and yeah, I mean, you look at these teams to the caller's question and point. Like, sure, like, the Padres have built from within to an extent and have good prospects. Tatis is their guy, but they signed Machado. They traded for Dylan Cease, a guy the Red Sox could have traded for and chose not to. They flipped Juan Soto for Jackson Merrill. You know, the Mets, they've spent a lot of money, and I know last year it flamed out, and they shed some of that payroll, but they still have a high payroll. And then you look at a team last year like the Arizona Diamondbacks. They won 84 games, and they made the World Series because they got hot at the right time. So if you can get in, you can get to the World Series. But if you can get in and you have a really talented roster with horses, you can get in every year. I mean, I said earlier, I think the Red Sox are one of those teams that should be in the playoffs 4 out of 5 years.
Yeah,
you're exactly right. Especially with the 6 in each league.
Well, that's the thing. It's just get in. And if I hate to go back through the Red Sox record, but you should go and check out Autopsy, the final hours of the Red Sox. John and I did it last week, and inside of Autopsy, I'd mentioned that at one point the Red Sox were 10 games over 500. In that last week of the season, the Tigers and the Royals were 11 games over 500. So if this Red Sox, when they were 10 games over 500, had just played one game above 500 ball, they would at least be in the conversation for that third wild card spot. And look, where are the Astros now? Gone.
Yep. They made it at least, but they're gone.
Right. But they won their division. Right. Well, they won their division, right? So their division gone. Cleveland won their division. Gone. Orioles were the top wild card. Gone. All of them gone. And you say, okay, they did all that work. All the Red Sox had to do was a little bit and just get in. And then things could have happened. I would have prayed. I would have even pulled witches from Salem and tried to convert them to join in a prayer circle for the pitching staff once it got into the playoffs. But I think this is something you have to consider moving forward is, hey, the real season starts when the 162 are over. just make yourself available, and anything can. The Mets are going to the NLCS. No one had that on their bingo card at the start of the, in the middle of the season.
The Tigers too, right? I mean, the Tigers traded Jack Flaherty away at the deadline. They were sellers.
They had a 0.2% chance on August 11th.
And now they're in the ALCS.
We were on a Sunday morning, because that's usually when you find us. You remember I said the only team to watch in this rearview mirror of the Red Sox, because remember I was saying you can't compete. Don't worry about what Seattle's doing, because Seattle has to really try and win the West to get in. You don't watch them. You need to keep your eyes forward. And then you remember one week I said, because the Tigers had won like 7 out of 10, and I think they had just come off of winning 7 in a row. I said, you got to watch out for these guys. Remember, I pointed out,
I remember you mentioning it.
I said, these guys got a really good record against teams above 500, which means they've been doing very well against the people ahead of them. Not the Red Sox. The Red Sox weren't. They had a horrible record over 500. Same thing with the Royals, but the Royals, they had so much cachet built up. So it is disappointing not seeing the Red Sox there, and here we are watching old Mookie again. You know,
Ryan Brazier too, with a little 3-0 lead on the mound. There you go.
These guys are going to write them. It's going to be a 30-for-30 called Escaping Boston. Then it's going to be like people like Brazier. I mean, even Matt Strom became
Nathan
Eovaldi
won the World Series last year. Last year,
Strom up until the Phillies lost tonight. He was coming in as a closer doing spot, you know, closing for the Phillies in the I mean, that's absolutely
Schwarber. Mookie's the big one. Mookie and Bogarts are the big ones, and those hurt the most. But you look like Eovaldi, Schwarber,
JD Martinez is still in part. He's with the Mets.
He's in
the
NLCS. Like, yeah,
it's,
I mean,
it's crazy.
Yeah, it's like the names beyond that. You're like, damn, like, wow.
We wrap KJ and Lions next here on WEEI. Thank you so much for hanging out on a Wednesday.
This is KJ and Lions on WEEI.
Yeah, this one's for you, Lions. Dear Lions, I'm sorry that Bill Belichick is a grandfather. Let me be honest. He's a man and she's a young woman. And boy, that blue chew is responsive. Ah, yeah. KJ and Lions.
I met a woman at the Dallas airport, and she saw I had a Patriots hat on, and she asked, what do you think of Belichick's girlfriend? I was like, it's a little weird, you know? She goes, he's still warm. End of conversation.
See, that's...
I was like, okay.
Okay, so that probably put some things in perspective, right?
I respected her perspective. I was like, all right.
Look, Al Pacino... I'm not saying this is where Belichick's heading with that relationship.
Doesn't De Niro have, like, a baby?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, you want to hear something crazy? So I went to go visit my mentor at Odyssey, New York City, like, 2 years ago. So I got to see the fan and met Chris Oliverio, great guy. I got to get a little tour of the building and so forth, right? So I meet the guy who does the voice and production for the fan, right? And there's two ladies who are there talking to my mentor in his office. And we go into the production thing. We're conversing and having a conversation. And so one of the women, and we kind of, I don't want to say we made eye contact, but it was like, hello, hello. How about it was Robert De Niro's ex-wife?
Really?
Yes. The one that helped put together like the Tribeca Festival. She's originally from like Alabama. And I had mentioned something with, because the guy who's the production guy for the fan in New York, he is from the town next to mine in New Jersey. So we got on these stories. She was like, oh my God. They were like, oh, this is so neat. You guys, I had no idea who she was until I got on the plane and looked at the information. And it was just like, I forgot what her name was. But it's something, let me see. Let me type this in Google. De Niro's ex-wife. And that'll tell you her exact name. Grace Hightower. That's her name. That's who I met right there. Oh, my gosh.
Interesting. Like, yeah, of all places.
Of all places. And so I'm thinking, like, I'm on the plane as I'm flying back to Boston. It's like, you talking to me? You talking to her? You talking to me? Because, you know, clearly they're not married anymore, but from what I understand, they're still very cool or what have you. But they were married for like 11 years.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. So you probably remember Grace Hightower. So I'm like, they were like, that's De Niro's ex-wife. I was like, damn. You start thinking about like, yeah, Robbie, she's in love with me now. Now, wait a minute. Now, you kind of offended me there. Okay, that's a bad De Niro, is it not?
No, but you know what? I'll give it to you. At 9:53 p.m., I'll give it to you.
I was about to say something that probably my wife would tune in right at this time and say no. But like, so that's what's crazy. Like, De Niro's just had a young, like, clearly he's not with Grace anymore. But he's got a new wife now, and he's not got a young child. Pacino has a kid and just recently had a kid. I remember years ago, you probably don't remember this guy, Tony Randall. Tony Randall had a kid, like a kid at 82. So Belichick is still 10 years younger. I'm not saying that this is where that's going. But she knew that woman who saw you in Dallas, who had the when you had the Patriots hat on, asked you what you thought because she's thinking, you know, because think about it. Do you remember when Belichick worked out with the when the UFC came and was working out? And there's Belichick, like, in sweats and stuff like that? Like,
oh, yeah. With the like, weights?
What does our sister station in New York say? Give us 22 minutes and we'll give you the world?
Yeah.
Someone needs to play this break to show you how genius this show is. We can even help cross-sell our sister stations in other cities while still remaining effectively Bostonian. It's a talent.
It is.
John, look, you've really put up with me tonight. You really have.
That's like okay. I've been watching all the great Red Sox players on the Padres and Dodgers, to be honest, on TV right here.
Yeah, even when you heard the music sounder of one of the greatest websites ever created, and man, you were dead quiet.
Yeah, ZachCo.com.
Yeah. Say it real quick and you might be close to it. Say ZachCo, ZachCo, ZachCo. Say it 10 times. They pop out. Zach, thank you for your great work. John, I'm going to miss us being here tomorrow night, but we're back Tuesday.
Next Tuesday.
Remember, Monday night, the Twitch Showdown, College Football 25, the Twitch address, WEEIKJ, at 7 p.m. Monday night. We'll tweet about it again. John and I go at it, College Football 25, live on Twitch, because we now know how to do it. We've already done the test run and everything. WEEIKJ on Twitch Monday, 7 p.m., right before Monday Night Football. Man, John, always great having you with me. As a pleasure.
Have a good one, man. Good night.
See ya.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.